From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in a basement. Our WXXI colleague and host of Open Tuning, Scott Regan, was wandering around his friend Jeff Ryle's basement when he came across a notebook full of song lyrics and ideas. And one line caught his eye. That line was, "Don't go drinking on an empty heart." Ryle said it was the title for a song that he had yet to write. Little did he know that dozens of people would soon be writing, "Don't go drinking on an empty heart." That line in an old notebook was the inspiration for what has become an annual challenge called If All of Rochester Wrote the Same Song. WXXI's Jeff Spivak recently shared this origin story in his Across the Universe column as a preview of this year's event, which drew 80 entries, and last Sunday, the 17 local singer-songwriters selected for the performance took to the stage at the JCC to debut their version of this year's song title. The title this year, "What Did I Miss?" If you had to write a song with that title, what would you think about? Would you think about the last 3 years? Would you think about something missing from your life, something different? Well, we previewed this event this past summer, and now it's in the books, and we thought it'd be fun to hear some of "What Did I Miss?" I always love this because it's called If All of Rochester Wrote the Same Song. It's really, what if all of Rochester had to use the same song title? Because there's a lot of different ways that people go with it, and it is fascinating. And we're going to hear some people from all corners of the music scene locally. What better way to end the week with some music? And let me welcome our guests back to the program. Kelly Izzo Shapiro, songwriter, co-founder of Musical Shares LLC, and producer of If All of Rochester Wrote the Same Song. Welcome. Nice to see you again. Great to have you back here. Sarah DeValier, a songwriter, co-founder of Musical Shares, and a producer as well of If All of Rochester Wrote the Same Song. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too.
And Steve Piper, a songwriter, producer, and general madcap mayhem producer. That's true, isn't it?
Some people might think so. Not. It's true. on a good day, Evan.
It's nice to see you. So let's just listen to track number one on our hour is actually what before we hear it, Sarah?
It's a theme song. Kelly and I co-wrote a theme song for the show because we thought, why not? And we performed it at the beginning of the show. So for those who missed the show, this is your little peek into how the show started.
Someone write me a verse, tell a story with some music set to words.
Tell me a story.
Some days things couldn't get worse, but when I hear a new perspective and you feel heard, we can be connected. If all Rochester wrote the same song, we'd have to celebrate and put a show on. If all Rochester wrote the same song, we'd have to celebrate and put a show on.
That's fun.
Yeah.
So there we go. And now we have an official theme song. You've hit the big time when you have an official theme song.
Yeah. We can
and
reuse
as the producers,
it too.
We have the power to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask all three of you before we really kind of dive into the music. How did it go, Kelly? How do you feel about this year?
It was so good. I think everyone loved it. And I just feel so excited to have brought it back again after having a couple years off with COVID and everything. So just to see, to be in an auditorium, you know, to be in a theater with like people in the audience who are like giving a standing ovation to these great songwriters, to have people in the green room like talking and meeting each other, you know, making connections again. It was just so like magical for me. And like where I feel the most comfortable is like up on stage or doing stuff backstage. So it just felt really good.
What was the first year that you got involved with this particular show?
Actually, it was the most, the one right before this year. So the 2019. Yeah, and Sarah and I actually met on that show.
I love it. Bringing people together. But in that sense, because of that long gap, did it feel different this time? Did it feel, I mean, maybe a little bit extra?
Well, yeah. The last time I wasn't like helping run it.
Right.
So there was a lot of more on my plate this year. But it also just felt, I think because of the 2-year break, it felt super magical to get people in a room again celebrating, you know, this original music, because I haven't really been to a lot of things since COVID. You know, I'm slowly getting back to doing stuff like everybody else. And so to have a big event like this that is so focused on bringing people together in the community around like a, you know, one idea is really cool.
Well, when we last talked, you were asking the community to think about what they would write for if all of Rochester wrote the same song with the song title of What Did I Miss? And thankfully, that was before, you know, GPT-4 and ChatGPT came out, because now you can just let the machines do it. What do we need people anymore, Sarah?
Oh, God, you're throwing that question
at
me. Yeah, listen, I think AI is cool and a little scary. And I think there's a purpose for it. But there is just no way that AI could have created a show like this, in the sense that, you know, it doesn't have an imagination. You know what I mean? Like, you can say, okay, write a song in the style of Ed Sheeran, and then, all right, you're going to have a What Did I Miss song that's kind of in the style of Ed Sheeran. But unless there's an AI that can take my brain and extract all of my thoughts and my life experiences and what I've gone through in this, like, in the past 24 hours, there is no AI that can write a song that I would write for What Did I Miss.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
And plus, we wouldn't want to try to get inside Steve Piper's head.
Oh, God, no.
I've been trying for years. You know, and I think that's, I'm not an authority on AI. I know what it's basically about. But that's not what music is for, to make something that's appealing or interesting on a superficial level, even if it's not seemingly superficial. Music is for people to do, feel, express themselves. So this is just what Sarah was saying. It needs to come from a real living person.
Yeah, and Steve, this is some of what we talked about last summer was like, What Did I Miss feels kind of on the nose given what we've all been through, you know?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It also is still a blank canvas, and it was probably really interesting, Steve, to see the different interpretations, because I'm sure they are not, in fact, I know they are not all pandemic related, right,
no,
Steve?
No, they are not. And right, that's the first thing people might think of, but there wasn't a lot of that, wouldn't you say? There were a few.
Yeah, I mean, just a couple.
There needs to be a few, because a good prompt like that sort of throws it out into the current world, and you get a bunch of different perspectives coming back at you. And so a good prompt is not too specific, you know, and yet it's of the time, you know. And I think it was a great one. I don't remember who thought of it.
It was me.
I think it was
Kelly. I was going to say, was it me?
Well, Kelly did, right? I was taking credit.
Yeah, I think it was. Yes, it
was
you.
Yeah.
It was a great one. It was a great one.
So, Kelly, did you write one for this one?
Well, not for the show, but I did write one ahead of time. I played it on your show last
time. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's awesome. And because you guys now, with all the work that you have to do, you're working with other performers, and you're taking a look at all of this, and how would you say the quality top to bottom of the show and sort of the breadth, the diversity of approaches is?
Well, as far as like the diversity of the actual songs, we made a list like when we were putting them in order, and all the genres, every single song was a slightly different genre. It was really, really cool to see how differently people took that prompt. And just the quality. I mean, there were people who, we had a girl who is still in high school who did an amazing job, you know, and then we had people who are really seasoned and have been, you know, opening for, you know, big acts and stuff. So even though there were like different levels of sort of I don't know how to put it.
Professionalism?
Yes, professionalism. Thank you. Even though there are different levels of professionalism, everyone really gave it their all and delivered and did an amazing job. Like, I was so proud of all of them.
Yeah.
Agree, Sarah?
Yeah, totally. And I think that, you know, the show, it's and not that you were implying this, Evan, but I think it's important to say it's not a competition. And the reason I say that is because, you know, as the producers and helping the judges figure out which ones to choose, it really wasn't just about let's get the most professional, best written songs. Like, that's really, you know, sure, we want to choose songs that are good. And all the songs I think that were performed are all really great songs in their own right. But the part of the reason they were chosen is because we wanted to have a show that reflected a very diverse range of perspectives and feelings and, you know, people from different walks of life. So in a way, like, you can't really judge them against each other.
Yeah. Good point. Good point.
Kelly, I should have had you bring your – you didn't bring a guitar.
Sorry.
I love your music, and I'm remembering now back in July when we talked here. So I think it's just a shame that, you know, you're not on stage as one of the 17 or 18, but I mean, you're still on stage, of course.
We were on stage. We were in the band. Yeah.
We were all in the band.
You're in the supporting act.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Actually, I did end up
singing.
You're
putting other people in the spotlight. So.
Yeah.
which is really great here. So in a minute here, we're going to start a lineup, and listeners, you're going to hear bits of different songs, and you're going to hear some of the artists who are going to get on the phone with us, and they're going to tell us what inspired them. But before we start that train, I want to know, since Kelly came up with this year, what's the next theme? What's the next song title?
We didn't choose it yet.
You got to
have
like
20.
Of it
yet.
Like,
yeah, we
of
haven't
paper,
thought
right?
of it. We have some from the last brainstorming session that we could, you know, mine again.
Yeah.
But
please just give me a couple examples.
Oh, gosh.
What were some of the ones?
Well, some of them were ridiculous, like don't put eggs down your pajamas. That was one
but
of the
But you ended
really...
up writing that
and
song.
And I actually wrote that song. I was like, well, someone's got to write one song
Nothing
with that title. So I did. But
Don't.
It's a kid's song, clearly about it's a true based on a true story. No, but actually, on that note, you know, I think it'd be great to have listeners write to
submit some ideas. Sure,
it's a lot of work to come up with a good idea.
It is.
And it's not all like kind of like country light. Like my favorite song titles are like I don't know whether to get drunk or go bowling, or I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. Like stuff like that. It's clever, whatever. But what you guys have chosen over the years, I mean, Don't Go Drinking on an Empty Heart does seem like a little country, but
it's light enough that it's not going
to
send you into the maudlin, oh my God, territory.
Yeah. I would agree with that. But, I mean, like, the eggs down the pajamas, I did not think we were going there.
No, I know.
Are there others that stand out where you're like, we almost went with this, Steve?
I can't remember them. I have a list in one of my notebooks, but I brought the wrong notebook. I sat down and made a list of like 15 or so. Actually, I did it while we were talking. And the one I had circled was, what did I miss? There may have been another one that I made a check that I thought, oh, these are the best. And so we did the right thing. I can't remember any of them. I thought they were great, but I can't remember them. So,
yeah, we'd have to do some research to figure out.
It's
what
really
we were
ephemeral
looking
at. when you're talking about it with people. Someone should be taking notes, you know. So and then somebody else will come up with something. You may forget something. And then in retrospect, you say, oh, yeah, that would be good for a lot of reasons. But it happens so quick when you're talking about it.
If you give me like a few minutes during the next song, I could probably figure it out and I could let you know. Yeah.
I'm impressed.
I'll look at my phone and
look
at some old emails.
Or we could just sit here and talk about common themes of life, like everything has changed. Not everything has changed.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Everything's changed.
Or not everything has changed. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you can give any artist a prompt, but Kelly, when you're writing, is it song title first, lyrics first, music first?
Well, it's almost never song title first.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's odd for anybody. Usually they come kind of simultaneously, but I've done music first, I've done lyrics first. I try to mix it up, otherwise I get stuck in a rut, you know, stuck in a pattern. So to change things up, I usually will, you know, try to change the angle that I'm coming in from.
Well, let's bring in Phil Broikos, who's on the line with us.
Hi, Phil.
And Phil, are you there?
Hello. Yeah, I'm here.
So first of all, man, I got to say, Phil Broikos sends us a note this weekend, and I had a chance to hear the song, his version of What Did I Miss, which, oddly enough, has my voice first before yours. What's going on there, Phil?
Well, it was a carrot that was dangling in front of me, and I could not say no to it, which was, you know, last July when you guys were on the air with these great group of people, I was listening, as I do on a pretty regular basis, listening to the show, and I think you came up with this idea, like, if I was going to write that song, I would write it from the angle of when I have some neighbors and I've known them for a number of years, and they seem like, you know, regular folk, and one day you looked out your window, or you're in your neighborhood and you looked out your window and said, and you saw a Confederate flag flying, and you said, "What did I miss?" and I really couldn't let that go. I mean,
it's a true story.
I was actually kind of hoping that you were going to write that song, but I mm-hmm. didn't want to take that chance that you didn't, because I thought that was a great premise for a song. With the idea being, you know, there's all these things going on in this world, and it's like, you know, kind of like, what is going on? Like, so that's really the first verse of that song.
If I could, Phil, what I love that you did there is you take these little grains that might make us bewildered at the state of the world around us. So that story of seeing a neighbor with a flag that I couldn't believe seeing was true. By the way, it's a really lovely neighborhood, and those are really mostly really lovely neighbors, and things have kind of worked out, and that's a whole separate story. But that, yes, that feeling of like, whoa, like, what did I miss here? And I mean, I'm laughing not because it's funny, because it like blows you away, like, wow. And then the second verse that Phil writes about is about a preteen girl denied an abortion because of the state of policy. And then the third verse touches on Daniel Prude's death. And so if we could, let's listen to some of Phil's tune here, which he even edited my voice in from that show. Let's listen.
And then all of a sudden you got a Confederate flag up. And I'm like, well, what did I miss?
Listen to the radio. Newsman tells me everything I need. One day in his neighborhood, saw his neighbor wave a freak flag free. And he said, what did I miss? Something. Did I miss everything? What did I miss?
I mean, that is a kind of a haunting tune, man. I had no idea you're going to use that story, but Phil, what are you hoping people take from a song like that?
I didn't really write it for myself. I mean, for anybody else, I wrote it for myself.
Yeah.
I thought it was, you know, just kind of waking people up. And if I can just say about the whole project itself, I mean, it's brilliant on so many different levels, because, you know, you're getting people. It actually ties in with yesterday's story about happiness and success. What mm-hmm. does that look like? To me, writing music is a way to better health. Just the act of writing music is so helpful. And these people have gotten hundreds of other people to write songs that would have never been written. I would have never written this song had I not heard you say what you said. Other people would not have written their songs had this project not been in place. So I think, you know, a lot, you know, all the credit really has to go to Kelly, Sarah, and Steve for continuing this amazing project, which is so helpful to me to be able to hear that there are these very talented other songwriters right within our community.
Well, Phil, before we move on to the next songwriter, tell us a little bit about your project, A Day in Music, and where people can find more of your work.
Thank you, Evan. So, yeah, I didn't even want to write this song because I'm embroiled in my own project of writing 24 hours of music. I'm trying to release 1 hour each year, and it's part of this practice of healthy, creativity and the ancillary benefits that come from out of that. The project is the main focal point would be adayinmusic.com, and that'll take you to all the different places.
And we can find more of Phil Broikos' work there. Going to release the album by the end of this month, is that right?
Yeah, for sure. I just this is the fourth album out of 24 in the series, and the fourth album should be out later this month. I just finished mastering it yesterday.
I know, as you say, you know, you may sit down and write a song that's kind of just for yourself in a way, but that's a haunter, and that is a thinker, and there's a lot of beauty there, Phil. And we look forward to seeing more of your work, and I'm grateful that you took time to call the program today.
Really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
That's Phil Broykos. You can find his work. And 3 a.m. out of 24, hour three is coming your way from Phil. That's great stuff. Kelly, he really loves what you guys do. Are you feeling the love from the music community? Isn't that good stuff?
Yeah, it's really amazing to see the feedback that, and just to see people's faces when they're up there performing or, you know, afterward. Just, I don't know, there's something really special about connecting, especially with an audience, you know, kind of putting your soul out there and having people receive it. It's something you can't really get in any other way in such a big, you know, in such a big way.
Yeah, Sarah, he said he's really writing that for him. He's not really thinking about how it's going to land with people. He's kind of just going on his own experience. Is that the kind of writing that you do, or are you thinking, what's hitting me? What's moving me?
I do both. So actually, Phil and I, we both are we both went to Berklee School of Music. And I studied film scoring. And so actually, I was really trained in writing music with a particular purpose and a particular audience in mind. And I do a lot of writing in that sense, where it's like, I'm writing for this reason. And actually, I'm writing for this director, and they want me to express this. And I think that's really great and fun, too. So kudos to all the people who do that. But yeah, I absolutely also write music that's like purely for myself. I mean, I'm sure Kelly and Steve would agree, like kind of like Phil was alluding to, writing music is extremely therapeutic. It's the cheapest, most free kind of therapy. And so I absolutely write that as well. Yeah.
Steve, is it therapeutic for you? Same way Phil talks about?
I think so. Excuse me. My feeling about it is that whenever I write something, I'll say almost all the times, it's because I had a strong feeling, and it usually involves a response to something I see or a phrase. Occasionally I'll think of, wow, that's a cool phrase, but I don't say, what can I do with that very often? It sort of sits there, mm-hmm. and then some sort of emotion attaches itself to it. So this is reminding a little bit about a few minutes ago when we were talking about AI. It seems to me the AI stuff is going to be working towards a palatable product. And I think music should come from a person who has a feeling, who has thoughts about it. And something occurred to me this morning. I think you have to want to write something. It's not like this project was not like, okay, your assignment for tomorrow is to do this. And if you don't turn it in, you'll have a D minus. You know, it's not that kind of stricture. It's something that you would have to want to do to even go into this.
Sure. I mean, the title still has to move you to do something.
Right.
Like
and then
yeah.
you have to you find or stumble on things that come from within you that go towards that.
Yeah.
I think that's great rather than you got to do this by tomorrow. You know.
Well, let's turn to our next. So, again, why we're here with our guests, Kelly Izzo, Shapiro, Sarah DeValier, Steve Piper. They are the brilliant minds behind If All of Rochester Wrote the Same Song, which is back this year. They perform 17 new songs. Was that
yes.
right?
Yes,
right.
17.
Right. 17 new songs. And they invited songwriters from around the community to interpret the song title and come up with whatever moved them. So the song title this year was What Did I Miss? And our next guest, Levi
Ganji
is next here. Levi is on the line with us. Hey, Levi, how you doing?
Hi, Evan. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on the show. And hello to Kelly, Sarah, and Steve.
Hi, Levi.
Hi, Levi.
Rob, I think that's track number three. So we ready? Let's hit that. Let's listen to some of Levi's interpretation of What Did I Miss? And then we'll come back and talk about it.
We don't live that long, really just a handful. Seem to go by faster every year. You asked me what I live for, and I confessed I didn't know. I just try to stay distracted from the fear that I'm missing out on something other people seem to know. I see it in their pictures when I'm scrolling through my phone. Happiness in high definition, success in a perfect pose. What did I miss while I was focused on those? 'Cause we used to laugh together till we fell over on the floor. Didn't have to be about anything at all. No one knew our names beyond the end of Winborn Road. We were just kids. What did I miss? Never entered our mind.
That's such good stuff. That's really beautiful. All right, Levi, floor is yours. You want to give us a little background on this tune? It's good stuff, man.
Sure. Thank you so much. So when I first heard the title, What Did I Miss? I thought about that, the concept of, you know, the acronym FOMO, you know, fear of missing out.
Mm-hmm.
And people talk about that in regards to social media. You know, it's like everyone posts their greatest moments or everything that's, you know, super, just super engineered to look fantastic. And so, and I, you know, confess to being someone who gets caught up in that, which is why the only social media I currently have on my phone is LinkedIn, which is like the most boring social media you can imagine, because I don't do well with it. And so when I thought about that fear of missing out, I thought about my childhood and the wonder I used to experience in childhood, and just kind of that unabated wonder where it's like, no, I was in the moment fully, you know, riding my bike down the street, you know, in the things I was playing with, people I was playing with, you know, imagination. And I wasn't missing out on anything. And so I just kind of thought about the paradox of those two things of, you know, how do you, you know, reclaim that wonder as an adult, and how, you know, how do you avoid getting caught up in the fear of missing out, and just the drain, the soul drain that can have on you by comparing. And, so I kind of went with that theme.
Boy, Levi, I really love that. I love so much about that. I find myself sometimes just scrolling through social, like, why am I even doing this? Like, why?
Right.
Like, what am I getting out of this? And mm-hmm. we'll talk on a separate show soon about how there's new research that says social makes you sad, and sad being sad makes you want to be on social media. It's like a doom loop.
Yes.
But it takes us out of the moment so much, and I loved it. Let me just go around the table before we let Levi go back to his beautiful Friday. What did you think there, Kelly?
I love Levi's song. <That's great stuff. laughs> I got to sing on it on the show, which made me so happy. There was a lot of harmonies that we added. The band, you know, we kind of produced each song a little bit for the performance, so that was really fun for me, because I felt it was, I loved, you could feel that he's really connecting to something real there. You know, the stories are so specific, the images are so specific. You know, I feel like I can just see him riding his bike, or, you know, laughing with his friends. It's just like such a comforting song.
What do you think, Sarah?
Oh, well, Levi is a good friend of mine. I've known him for several years now, and so I unabashedly love him and his songs. And yeah, I love this song. It's a very, and he's actually, we've joked about this together, because I think his wife, Alinda, has also said this. This is a very Levi song. And that's a wonderful thing, because I love Levi's music. So,
Steve?
Yes, yes, yes. I feel the same way. The thing that struck me just now is that he really went into, he went through the door that he opened to this song. Which is a magical thing to do. You're you're creating something, but then you enter it yourself. I mean, that sounds redundant or something. But the line that really nailed that for me, when he says at the end of that phrase, "What did I miss never entered our minds," quoting the title within the world that he'd created,
yeah,
that was prompted by that title, which I thought, at the time, I thought it was really cool, and I heard it now, and I thought that was really brilliant. And it feels absolutely like he was there. It's not like, hey, I've got a clever thing to do here. To me, that's like the magic of when something blossoms, you know. It doesn't just lay there in the paper and say, okay, I'm cool. It blossoms into something, and that does.
Yeah, Resist FOMO, alternative title. Levi, where can we find more of your stuff?
If you just go to my firstnamelastname.com, LeviGanji.com. I am working on an album right now. This song will be on it. I'm excited to include some of the folks who played in the backing band, if they are gracious and willing to play on it.
Of course.
But I have a lot of music that I've done in the past that you can listen to there. You can see where I'm playing next. I play a lot of different breweries and places in Rochester and the Finger Lakes. And yeah, you can check it out there. And it was just a super awesome privilege to be a part of this. I just love songwriting, meeting other songwriters, and I'm thrilled to be able to celebrate this together.
Levi, spell your last name. It could go, you just hear it, you're not quite sure. G-A-A.
Sure.
You can spell it.
Levi, like the jeans, L-E-V-I, and then Ganji, G-A-N-G-I, LeviGanji.com.
Yep.
Hey, Levi, much love. Great stuff. Thanks for the contribution. Really enjoyed it.
Thanks, y'all.
Really good stuff. That's what this is about. If all of Rochester wrote the same song, is such, it is one. I mean, I'm biased. It's one of my favorite annual traditions, and they're gonna do it. They're gonna do it twice a year now. They just revealed it.
You're hearing this first for the first time.
So are we.
Are you kidding? Sarah just had a stroke.
Yeah.
They're not doing it twice a year, but sometime in the summer, they'll probably come back and tell us about what the next theme will be. I would imagine.
Yeah.
It's going to take them some time. They'll take your suggestions, listeners. If you've got a song title you think that would be kind of universal and be fun to do, let's bring in our next guest. It's Natalie Pang, who's an Eastman graduate student studying piano performance and music theory, who's on the line with us. Hi, Natalie. Thanks for making time. How are you?
Hi, Evan. How are you?
Awesome. Really enjoying this Friday afternoon. The world needs more music, for goodness sake, and we need a little bit more of that in Connections. So I'm appreciating it very much. And let's see here. Natalie's track number 4. So in a moment, what we'll do is we're going to listen to some of Natalie's work here. Natalie, you want to tell us a little bit about your interpretation before we hear it?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me today. And hello to Kelly, Sarah, and Steve. The idea for my song, I got it from wondering about the kind of person I'd be and the experiences I'd have if I was a different version of me, maybe one that's like a little brighter, more confident, gets up every day in the morning with some pizzazz, or someone who like believes in herself rather than having imposter syndrome and a voice in my head that's like, hey, you're not good enough. So I'm asking in the song, like, what did I miss not being this version of Natalie who's truly at peace with herself? And one of the choruses goes, and what is it like to be you, someone who knows how to treat herself kindly, who lights up when she's dreaming about the future, who doesn't battle herself to sleep? And often in my songs and the music I listen to, I find myself connecting to the feeling of yearning. I've often written about maybe missing someone deeply or yearning for love and that warmth of connection. But also writing the song made me realize I sort of have a yearning for a future me or an alternate version of myself. That was the inspiration for the song.
Let's listen. This is Natalie Pang's version.
So you've made it now, you're that girl who wakes up with a smile. You just get out of bed because you felt this good for a while. But what about me? I'm just here, it's something about me and my fears. Stuck on some imagined apocalypse, you don't hide away, so tell. Is there something I've missed? And what is it like to be someone who laughs and loves with ease? You're the girl.
Sarah, you're a piano player.
Yeah.
What are you hearing there?
Oh, I mean, when I first heard this song, I just thought Disney princess song. And I mean that in the best way possible because I love, you know, I'm like kind of a 90s kid. Love Disney music. Love Disney princess music.
But like this is the kind of song you would not be surprised to hear like tons of people like singing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Young people, their parents, people of all ages singing along to.
Right.
Yeah. And of course, Natalie's a very accomplished pianist. She's actually studying piano performance at Eastman as a grad. But I think what I actually really love about the song is how vulnerable it is and everything she just shared with us. It's like, that's, you know, those are not easy things to say on public radio for sure. And then to like sing it on stage in front of everybody. But that's what I think makes this a really beautiful and special song is that she's being so vulnerable.
Yeah,
Kelly?
Really good.
Yeah, it's vulnerable and it's also very cinematic in a way, you know, like you said, it's a sort of a movie song. You can see her moving through these feelings, which I think is really, really nice. Yeah, I loved this one instantly when I heard it. It's such a beautiful melody. The vocal range is, you know, she doesn't just stay within the same three notes. You know, she's going all over the place with her vocal range. And I think it just really adds so much to the words that she's saying. It really adds like a depth of emotion to sort of throw your voice up into your head voice like that.
Steve?
Yeah. There is that sense of vulnerability, but there's also a sense of pride or, you know, some gentle force that carries her along. It's not like it doesn't fall into, you know, self-pity or something. So that was really appealing.
Oh, it was awesome. Natalie, congratulations on that. I hope if there's any
justice in
the universe that it does go super viral. And in the meantime, is your work out there for people to hear anywhere?
You can find me on SoundCloud. I'm Natalie Pang, but I plan to upload more tracks in the future. I'm working on an album, and this is a little different, but I also write music for a TikTok and YouTube production called Pixel Playhouse. We do like mini musicals on fun and relatable topics. So I just recently did one called I Love Being a Toxically Positive Person, which is not me, but it's people who love being toxically positive. So, yeah, that's and I'm definitely hoping to upload more tracks on YouTube in the future as well.
Natalie, thanks for making time for the program. Beautiful stuff.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Natalie
Pang. Thank
you
for your kind words.
Yeah, an Eastman grad student studying piano performance and music theory and obviously already creating gorgeous music. That was her version, that was part of her version of If All of Rochester Wrote the Same Song with the song title, What Did I Miss? And the team behind that project, Steve Piper, Sarah DeValier, Kelly Izzo Shapiro, they're all here with us. And our next guest is another of the creators who was part of this project, a medical student at the University of Rochester. Amanda Chow is with us. Amanda, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Should we hit that one? Let's listen to some of Amanda's version, then we'll come back and talk to Amanda.
Goodbye never hurt, so why do I feel so numb? I wanna slow down. Every night I get with you is air to breathe. Don't ever leave, baby, don't go. It's alright if morning light could never come. Oh, what did I miss? In all the days that I've been gone, the moments like this, and all the things we haven't done, every minute not for granted, not exactly how I planned it.
can't you stay? Time is slipping through my hands today.
This is unbelievable. The quality of the entire list is, what, they all like this, Kelly?
Yeah, and honestly, we had like 80 submissions, a little over 80 submissions this year, and it was hard to narrow it down. Like, yeah,
it wasn't easy.
Gracious. Yeah. These people are all in Rochester.
And these are just the demos.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I have to tell you, Evan, there were a couple of them that made it into the show where I heard the demo and I was like, is this person from Rochester or are they like some producer LA? Yeah, right. And no, that they were from
Sarah
Rochester.
Did a little research. We had to like research some people. Yeah. We're like, who is this person?
Maybe they're from Nashville. They're just trying to like do something here.
Wow. Steve Piper, what did you hear in that one, man?
Oh my. I was just kind of lost in it.
I was sort of
moving around here. Well, one thing that I loved about it, that was so much fun to play because it's a kind of slow R&B stuff that you put in little guitar fills and stuff. And it's kind of song that I really like playing myself. I like, you know, let me say that sentence. So
you like playing on that song.
Thank
like,
you so yeah, much. You go. God, that's why you're the host. Yeah. Because it really asks you to listen, and it's more about a conversation or, you know, just gently stepping into their thing rather than leading it or showing off. I love that kind of music to play, and it just floats right along.
Just another standing ovation. Amanda, you want to tell us a little bit about the inspiration there?
Sure. So I realized when I was looking at this this flyer in a cafe for a songwriting challenge, I was like, what am I thinking? Like, I've only written a song once before, and it was for my classmates at a memorial ceremony, actually, for the donors who donated their bodies to our anatomy class for studying. And it was a very moving experience, I think, both to have that creative process and to also share it with my friends in this very kind of emotional experience we went through for our education. And this year has been my first year on the hospital floors, and to say that I am changed at the core is an understatement. This song came kind of from that change of just seeing people who are really just terribly sick and unable to leave the hospital, don't really have, you know, really a great way to kind of predict, like, when am I going to get back to my life? And because of COVID, we've only been allowed to have one person visit at a time for each patient, which is heartbreaking. It's not good. It very much feels like a moral injury at every time that we have to tell somebody, no, you can't see your daughter, no, you can't see, you know, your grandchild at the same time. So a lot of this was kind of like, you know, what are these people missing? You know, we try to tell ourselves as healthcare workers, you know, like, we're trying to do our best by them. We're trying to, you know, give them some hope for the future. But at the same time, you know, I have to wonder and sit there, like, what are they missing out on? And what is it that they can't even maybe even verbalize to me because they may be unconscious, or maybe they just talking about it would be too much. So I think that's where a lot of it comes from. Not to like totally get somber.
No. I mean, it is truly beautiful. And that's a word I've been using a lot this hour, but I reserve that word very surgically. I just want to say this has been a ton of beauty this hour. And Amanda, if medicine doesn't work out, I have an idea for you. We're still going to need humans who create music. So, Amanda, thank you for that contribution and for that absolutely beautiful tune. So before we let you go real quick, where would you want people to find more, if they can find more of your work in music?
Yeah. So actually, that's a great question, because I don't have anything out there, really. This is
that sounded like a first time.
Entry number two into the world. And I am actually trying to follow a medical humanities pathway in my curriculum, which is basically an extra certification that I get for completing a project in the humanities. And I am toying with the idea of making maybe a small album as my project.
That's awesome.
Inspired mostly by my experiences.
But you do that.
So, yeah, so hopefully that works out. We'll see how my clinic schedule works out for me. But
good luck.
Amanda, congratulations on that. Best of luck to you. Thank you for that. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
That's Amanda Chow. This is unbelievable. Before we finish off with Tom Whitmore, we're going to make him wait a second because I don't want to lose the hour before asking Kelly and Sarah just briefly. You guys are co-founders of Musical Shares LLC as well. What is that?
So Musical Shares is a music production company that we started not too long ago that is both producing shows and music, recordings, et cetera, with the intent of really uplifting the craft of songwriting. Because Kelly and I, we are actually not just musicians and producers, but we are also songwriters. So this is, and this was kind of our outward looking community endeavor that we wanted to sort of take on first with the help of Steve.
And who do you want to work with in the future?
Oh my gosh. I want to reach out to anybody who's interested in the community who wants to be a part of a production, because there are so many people I don't even know who are so talented, as I found out doing this. So if people want to reach out to us, our email is musicalsharesclub@gmail.com, and you can talk to Sarah and I there if you have ideas for a project and you need production help, if you just want to kind of be on our radar, if you want to know what events we're going to be doing, get in touch with us.
And we have a website, musicalshares.club.
Dot club?
Yeah. Club. It's a club.
Be in our club.
Well, musicalshares.com was extremely expensive. Musicalshares.club was extremely cheap.
All right. So there you go. That's Musical Shares. Tom Whitmore, songwriter and band member of Watkins and the Rapiers. Tom, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine, Evan. Thank you for having me.
So let's listen to his song, which was set. His version of What Did I Miss is set at the International Space Station. Let's listen.
Days. That's the duration of my situation on the International Space Station. 2 weeks shy of one whole year I spent up here on the International Space Station. I work hard for 2 hours a day. That's why I stay on the International Space Station. It doesn't really sound
and
like
here I was worried that we weren't going to have whimsy.
Come on. Evan, of course.
We always have whimsy in If All of Rochester Wrote the Same Song. All right, Tom, take us to the bottom of that one, baby.
Well, I started out on the prompt with a song about Rip Van Winkle, but it seemed like it was a little too tired. So I was reading one day about Scott Kelly, who's an astronaut, and he at the time held the record for most days in space. It was just about 350 days. So then I was thinking later, after I wrote the song, that was like the time lapse between when I first had, when the COVID shut everything down, mm-hmm. and then when I got my second booster shot, it was just about 350 days. So I said, really serendipity.
Yeah. Steve, that's what you thought he was going to say, right?
Oh, I never know. I'm never quite certain what Tom's going
to
say.
That's awesome.
Hi, Tom.
And you said, Sarah, we needed that whimsy, too. You got to have a mix of style, don't you?
Oh, okay. Evan, also, you need to know this, because I don't know if you know this, but when Tom came on stage, he was in a full NASA spacesuit. And my two kids were in the audience, and I think even before he played one note, they were like, he's our favorite. This is the best. This is the best song. And they kept singing on the International Space Station. Still to this day, they're still singing it.
International Space Station. Yeah. They're still doing it.
Oh, they really are.
It's an earworm. I love it. Kelly, what do you think there?
Oh, it's just so much fun. I mean, when we listened to this one, when I listened to this the very first time, my I remember just like, you know, chuckling a little bit to myself and being like, this definitely has to be a part of the show because it's so light and lighthearted and
unexpected.
Yeah, just so much fun.
Tom, that was a fitting coda to what's been a great hour. Thanks, man.
Well, thank you.
Where are we going to see more of Watkins and the Rapiers, man?
Well, we are actually at the Little Cafe in May on Mondays from 6:30 to 8:30. So bring all your friends.
I love live music at the Little, and those guys do it so well. Tom, thanks. Thanks for popping into the program. Really cool stuff.
Okay, thanks a lot, Evan.
This is it. This is how we should do every Friday. Every Friday at 1 o'clock. Music. Okay. Yeah. Music every Friday. Steve Piper, can you come back every Friday at 1?
Sure, I have nothing else to
do. You got nothing going on?
No.
Okay. Sarah?
Absolutely. Yes.
Kelly?
Sure.
I'm holding you to it. I'm going to be here.
So as we close here, once again, they would love to work with you on Musical Shares. MusicalShares.club is the new website. And if we're going to see another, if all of Rochester wrote the same song, we'll hear about more in the summer, probably?
Yes.
Yeah, probably the summer.
And you can go on RochesterSongs.com to keep posted on that.
RochesterSongs.com. Congratulations to everyone who submitted and who was part of the show and to the whole team. Kelly, Sarah, Steve, thanks.
Thanks, Evan.
Thank you.
Music is so good for the world. From Rob Braden, Evan Dawson, Megan Maxing, thanks for listening. We're back with you next week on Member Supported Public Radio.